Welcome to David Clark's We Are Superman podcast, episode number 292. I am your host, Bill Stahl. Hey, appreciate your patience. I missed a week there while I took a phenomenal trip to Chile. I'm going to detail that here in an upcoming episode because I really want to share with you the adventure I had down there up in the Atacama Desert and climbing peaks up to over 6,000 meters, just under 20,000 feet. Definitely one of the hardest things I've ever done, less than 12 hours. So I'll look forward to sharing that with you later. But this week, I've got Keenan Haga, who you might call a serial marathoner. In fact, he has run 311 of them so far on every continent, including Antarctica. He has run one in every state three times. Keenan's goal for 2024 is to run 100 marathons, including 13 in 15 days this month, plus a 100 miler. So he and I had a lot of trouble connecting here, but I finally tracked him down, and we got this podcast episode underway, and I think you'll enjoy this a lot. You'll undoubtedly enjoy hearing about his cool experiences running among polar bears, sea lions in Antarctica, on the racetrack at Churchill Downs at Crater Lake, Oregon, and the not-so-great ones like getting a parasite from water at an aid station in Brazil. In the midst of all this marathoning, Keenan also beats stomach cancer, chemotherapy, the whole works. He credits running with helping him develop the attitude that he could dig in to battle it. But he kept his diagnosis to himself initially, even to his family, until he met another runner, Karen K. Timonier, at the American Heroes Run, to whom he opened up and began to share his cancer journey. Keenan had already discovered how much he cherished the running community he's met throughout the world, but now he also has been absorbed into the cancer survivors community in which he can share his experiences. The first things I noticed in our chat is how down-to-earth Keenan is about his life's extraordinary journey, his positivity, humility, warmth, and his gratitude that he gets to do the things that he does. For all you distance junkies, Keenan also shares a lot of helpful little tips from a guy who covers an awful lot of miles. I think you'll enjoy this chat a lot. And I would definitely encourage you to check out his blog, mycoloradolife.net. And he's just story upon story on there of all these adventures he's had literally in every continent all over the world. So definitely check that out. I think you'll enjoy it. Hey, before I get into it, as you guys know, I do book editing and proofreading. And if you've got that book project in mind, let's get it going. Let's move that forward. Or if you've already written it and are just needing it to get it edited or proofread or get it published, let's get together. Let's work on that. I would love to work on your project to get it out there. So many of you have great stories to share, and I would love to get it out there. I am a nitpicker when it comes to making sure everything looks perfect. In fact, one of the I've often talked about expressions that drive me nuts. Here's one: apart and apart. That one I've probably talked about before. I see it all over these days. People keep talking about, hey, I love to be a part of whatever. Well, that is two words. If you want to be a part of a group, that is two words. But people put it as one word, and apart means you're not part of it, actually. It means you are apart from that group. So that one just drives me crazy, how people put apart as one word when they mean they are a part of something, as what should be two words. So if it's something that you have in mind here about getting your memoir, your could be your poetry, could be whatever research you've done, whatever work you've done, let's get it out there. Please contact me if I can help you. My company is called Summit Editing Services, and I'd love to bring your book, your idea, all the way to the top of the mountain so we can go ahead and get it published and get your ideas out there. Contact me at my email at silly_billy@msn.com, or you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram messengers. Okay, let's get into it here. Here is Keenan Haga and me. Welcome, Keenan. Glad we could finally pull this off. We've had all sorts of times where either you or I have been out of town or getting sick or whatever. So yeah. Glad we could pull this off. Thanks for coming down.
Super excited. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I've caught you, as usual, in between races. You just ran a race in Fort Lauderdale, right?
I did. And then this next weekend, I'm up right outside of Savannah, Georgia. So,
right.
Yeah, pretty blessed life as far as I have this huge goal this year. I think we all have goals that we do. And this year, it's 100 marathons and 100 miler. So that is my goal this year.
So 100 marathons and 100 miler. Okay.
So I want to do that in 12 months, and it looks like I'm not very far along on it. I've only done 7 so far this year, but the year's still young. In March, I have a spell where I'm going to end up doing 13 and 15 days, so that'll kind of put me right on. For the first quarter, I'll be pretty much right on target. So,
all right, so 13,
just got to stay healthy and do it.
Well, yeah, always a big if with me, but fortunately some other people don't have that same issue I do. But so 13 and 15 days, that means these are not necessarily official marathons.
No,
these
they're official ones. There are some that I'm doing one with a group called Mainly Marathon, where you'll end up driving. There's one in each state every day. You end up driving. No, they're all official marathons, not just the ones where people time it on their watch. And I also know they have to be ones that can count. So
wow.
Yeah.
So, and this a group is putting this whole thing on?
No, I'm running. Oh. Some of them are by a group. Some of them you hit on the Saturday before and do a trail race. Some you do the Saturday of a trail race and the Sunday on a road race afterwards.
Right.
So you do a lot of logistics as far as getting from North Carolina to Texas for the next day. Have someone else pick up your bib because it's, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, pretty lucky. Just the logistics seem pretty excited about at least trying it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can't fail if you don't try, right?
No, and you can't avoid Mo the kitten here either. Yeah. He keeps wanting to jump on you.
And he can. I'm not against it.
Yeah, all right. So which states are you going to be in during all this? I mean, are they pretty close together? I mean, you're not going to go from North Carolina to Texas the next day to run another one,
no,
are you?
No, but I'm going to go from Texas to West Virginia. So I'm going to pick up I'm going to pretty much hit most of the South. And then after I finish West Virginia, I'll drive to Charlotte because there's an airport there.
Yeah.
And then I will fly back in order to get to Colorado, get back home. Just run another one in Irving because, you know, it's basically DFW. And then fly to Denver the next morning so you can even pop one in that way. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of logistics. So, but I'm pretty pumped. There's a lot of places I haven't seen and be new experiences, new people you don't know that you're going to meet. And just kind of way of really kicking off my year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, when you say places you haven't seen, that's saying a lot here. We'll get into that in a little bit. But why the 100 marathons this year? Why is that a goal of yours?
Every year seems to be something you want to do. I'm a prayerful person. And this year it just became, that seemed to be, it came to me one day, like, this is what really, I just wanted to run. It just kind of came to me. It was like, I was really focused on the 100 miler. And I was trying to focus on how am I going to train to get 100 miler, because that completely mind boggles me how these folks at your race will somehow finish 100 miles. Seems completely, and I've done 50, but it seems completely like double that. Well, I can't do double that. So so I'm using this basically as a training run. I was like, well, this is, you know, people give me, you have your aid stations, you got someone's going to feed you. And you're like, this will keep us lazy people who can't seem to get our training done in our own trails all the time. You're like, well, if I run a marathon every day, or at least a lot of the days leading up to it, I'll be well trained for the 100 miler. So that was kind of it. And when I kind of looked at the schedule, I was like, I started working out the first part of the year. I'm like, I think I'm close to 50 because I'm trying to focus on the 100 miler at your race. And so it's in September. So I was really focused on the first half of the year. And then within a day or two, I think, because, you know, October, there's a ton of races. I'm like, I think I can do 100. I think I want to at least try it. So I have got a method. So now I just have to show up and I have to finish. So that's it. Because unless you're in the top three, everyone gets the same medal. You know what? That's what I tell
that's
the
true.
Folks, those of us in the back of the pack, you're like, yeah, you just have to start and you need to finish within cutoff, of course.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, so. I'm honored you've chosen the American Heroes Run as your 100 miler.
Yeah.
So what do you anticipate as the time you're going to run in these races?
I'm right now about a 5-hour marathoner right now. However, I'm hoping once I get focused, I really want to hit between 3:45 and 4:15. for marathons, but 50Ks, it kind of depends on trail, you know, with trail.
Of course.
You're all out of the, you know, never know what the weather, the terrain, you've never been there. So I'm just kind of open-minded to just enjoy the ride on those.
Oh.
So yeah.
Very cool.
Yep. So no real time on those.
Yeah.
Yeah, just survive, you know, just because I have some awesome, which, you know, Desert Rats that's in, yeah, so I'm signed up for that and Fruta. So, like, no idea. That looks pretty aggressive. So, kind of pumped. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're not too picky about whether it's a road marathon or a trail 50K or whatever. You're just out there trying to find a new adventure with every race, right?
Yeah. You know what? In the first, when I first started running, everything was always road. Needed to be road. You also meet with a lot of the group people. You're focused on your time. You're a little bit younger. And then luckily we had the pandemic. Well, road, everything got closed. And you can either gain a lot of weight, like I was starting to do, or you realize, well, trail, they have figured out a way that the trail races are still happening, or they started happening a lot sooner. So I really, and those, of course, the beautiful things you see on videos, you're like, oh, who would want to be there? And then typical to road racing, the first one, I failed horribly. It was so hard, so much harder. And then that kind of gets you in your head going, I have got to figure this out. It's, this is pretty amazing. So anyway, so now it's become more of a mix between the two.
But, all right.
And we're in Colorado. There's a whole lot more trail than there is road. So you have a lot more options.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No. Well, that's great. So this has become kind of your theme for this year, but you've done a hell of a lot of traveling around and, you know, adventuring, whatever. You know, this is almost tame in a way for you. I mean, 100 marathons in a year. I mean, you know, given that you've run in every continent or raced in every
including Antarctica.
Including Antarctica.
Been very, very lucky that way, I've done all the 50 states now three times. So I've been pretty – I'm going to finish a fourth time this year just by – this one wasn't really planned. It's just dumb luck. You're only 15 short. And you're like, well, if I'm doing 100 marathons, I can certainly hit those 15 states in order just to do it again.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
so was running a marathon every state, had that been a goal of sorts? Or was it just like it just happened?
I'm a pretty regular person. So I'm pretty naive about a lot of things. I was... I had planned on running one marathon. And that there's a story there. But then the next year... during that first marathon, I had picked Alaska because I have a sister very close in age. We were raised as twins, but biologically we're within a year apart, but we were in the same grade, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, she's a true runner. So she was the first one. She was on – it's back in the day when people on Facebook. So she was putting all her training runs in. Tammy has run blah, blah, miles. She has run this. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so annoying. And then at the end, she ran a whole marathon. I was like, huh. Well, she ran one. I could run one, but I'm only going to do one. So then I'm like, I pick Alaska. I'm like, that's the biggest state out there. It's like, I'll definitely one up her. That's all I need to do. And then for, you know, within your family dynamics, all is good. I felt it was so hard, you know, doing that one. But then by the, just because you have your normal mile 19, 20, that's when you find, you know, you hit the wall. It's your first marathon. Then you're walking. Then in my case, you're crying because you're like, it's a marathon. It's not a walkathon. And realize people walk in these things. I just thought, oh my gosh, my training time has been this. I'm all falling apart. Then about 5 months later, I ran my second. And then from then on, I was hooked. I met just a group. It was Tucson. It was just, you know, eventually if you train enough, you're actually going to hit pretty close to your training times. And I was just pretty pumped. While I was in Alaska, I don't have TV at home, but you have TV in the hotels. I'm kind of a junkie that way. Well, they had, the Ironman was, they were announcing Ironman Boulder was happening. I was like, this is like an epiphany. I need to do an Ironman. It's next year's thing, my one thing, and it's in Boulder. I live in Colorado. This is crazy. So anyway, my concept was I would just run a marathon every month, just as training, and then I would focus on swim and bike, you know, horrible at Ironman, just to let you know. That was a one and done. But during the time, my 10th marathon, I was, it was really hot in Nebraska, 95 degrees, had to go to the medical tent afterwards. And I met, these people who had, who were part of this 50 state marathon club. And they're like, well, how many have you done? I'm like, I've done 10, but I'm going to do all. I'm like, I thought I was the only one who had ever thought of this. And I realized there are 300 other people have already figured this thing out. So anyway, right. So yeah, it was a goal. It became a goal when I realized that Ironman was not in my future. If you plan on working and you're not just full-time training, I don't know, that's a lot of effort. Those are true athletes. So
right.
Anyway, and I liked the run best of all. So
yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy running. So
apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you have a web page. I think it's mycoloradolife.net or something like that. Did I get that right?
I do. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, being the journalist type that I am, I started doing my research, if you would. No, it's all good. Yeah. And I started looking at this. And I'm like, Jesus, there's no way I can like look at all of this in terms of getting ready, you know, to talk to you because I was just looking at all the, you know, I just started picking some different places you've run marathons, whether it was South Africa or Cairo or Antarctica or, you know, this or that. I mean, it was like, holy crap, you've just been all over.
I've been pretty lucky in life. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
very blessed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fantastic. The continents weren't even a plan. I just started one and then I'd done, another one on vacation. And my thing is, any airfare without a marathon is waste of money. So I felt like you're,
okay.
So you're like, I can definitely find a race somewhere near wherever you're going on a family vacation. And then once you do three of them, you're like, I think I want to do the continents. I don't know how we'll do Antarctica. And then just the opportunity arose and I figured it out. So,
right.
Yeah. So that, and that wasn't even my last one. That was number six. So yeah.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. You know, I feel like I'm putting my family out if I run a 5K race when I'm visiting them, much less doing a marathon.
Yeah. It's, yeah, we've had to work. Every family has its dynamics. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes right. You have to do it the day before everyone's vacation. I just recently did that. I had a family vacation at Disney World, and which I'm not a Disney person at all, but that daughter had said, you know, this is a non-run. This is only family. And so, you know, just, oh, you know, because she's not going to listen to this, right? So, you know, I flew in the day before.
Right.
I found a trail race outside of Jacksonville. So it's about 3-hour drive. Did that. Then you just have to drive to the Orlando airport from there and then just show up the same time. I said, oh, we all have just arrived for the vacation. You just yeah. Pretend you haven't just run a 50K the day before. So, but anyway,
yeah, but you can fit them in. You ran the 50K and didn't tread on their
vacations. That's the way I look at it too.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
I felt like I did my part. I did not do anything during the week or the 5 days we were there. So, yeah.
That's good. Everybody's wondering, like, how come Uncle Keenan can't seem to get out of his chair right now?
Yeah. There's a lot of great places to see. So, I just think there's a lot of opportunity to, anyway. And I like to run. I find it keeps me centered. I think it takes, a lot of people do it for a lot of different reasons. For me, it keeps me centered and it keeps everything from being so dark. I think.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people it does, but for me it definitely does. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, I, as we were talking off air, you know, I just got back from a trip in Asia where, I was with a couple 24-year-olds for much of it. And to me, it was funny. I would wake up early in the morning, or that's when I normally wake up, and I would go out and run 8 miles around Singapore, Tokyo, or whatever, and come back. And, you know, these kids aren't even out of bed yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, yeah, I've kind of seen an awful lot here today. And,
you
know, you guys have been sleeping. So, and it's just, it's cool because, you know, when you're on foot like that, you're not bound by, you know, a tour bus or, you know, any given route. I mean, if something looks interesting down a street, you just go.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Go you. Nice.
Oh yeah. No, I've just bumped into so many crazy things and it's fantastic doing it that way. So, you know, good for you for getting out there. What got you started on your running journey in the first place?
The beginning was really just the competitive story I told you to my sister. I saw her posting all these things to Facebook, and I was like, this is just ridiculous. So I just really wanted to run a marathon because I thought, if she can do it, I can do it. Then by the second race, I started meeting people that were like-minded.
Yeah.
And you know, back in the day, you only make friends based on, I got the cat now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, your friends are always someone who's geographically right around you, something. And then you're in this different, now, you know, in the 2000s, it's, you can find people with common goals. You end up going the same races and stuff. They're from Wisconsin, you're from Colorado, but you all end up in these same places.
Yeah.
And if you start doing enough marathons, especially the year I was focused on my 50 states, you really start seeing a lot of these same people at the same races. You end up hotel sharing in some cases. So you just throw your name out there. You're like half the cost. You know, you're like, if you can find enough guys that don't snore, you know, it's like you got to run the next day. So, you know, there's, you find iffy, out all right? So you're like, it's all not perfect. So really, I just really found the love. The community is really what did. Aside from just the centerness that it gives me, I find I've done better at work and life and everything. Just it takes it's a lot with problem solving. I found with running, you don't look at 26 miles. You look at the aid station is, you know, that's 4 miles, especially on trail. You're focused on the aid station. 7 more miles to the next. So you're really breaking it down in chunks. And then I find you can do that in other things in your regular life that does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So,
no, I mean, any long race is an adventure in problem solving, because nothing ever happened. Nobody ever runs a race where everything just went as smooth as glass, exactly the way it was all planned out. You know, there's going to be an issue, whether it's a GI issue, a blister issue, a chafing issue, a weather issue. You know, it's going to happen. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you can't call mommy to come get you, you know, it's, yeah.
And for me, it added, an extra special layer, having the running. I had, just finished my 50 states. And then I found out just a few months later that I had cancer. I would have never dreamed a healthy person gets cancer, would have never even thought about it. It's like, I'm running all the time. All I had was upset stomach. And it was between spring, it was in April. So it's between spring and summer. Some people puke. I'm a puker. So it's just probably poor nutrition or something. Right. I'm a person that appears that loves to puke. I don't know. So I didn't really put a lot into it. And then you find out you have stomach cancer. And I went through, you know, it's a hard thing.
Yeah.
You lose your hair, you puke more. It's a, but the positive, because there's always lots of positive things in life, I just kept running. And was like, I had to switch doctors. The first ones were not positive for that. I needed to find something that worked. It was the only thing I felt like I could control was the running. Everything else was, how can a healthy person get this? How can I have no control over this make-believe disease, I feel like people say, because I felt like I didn't even feel like I had symptoms because it was caught pretty early.
Yeah.
It was the chemo that was the horrible part for me. So,
oh, yeah.
So there I am. I've got some horrible pictures just to remind me. I save on my phone just to remind myself with the cue ball head and stuff, as far as when times are tough, you go back going, that – It can always be worse.
Yeah.
And it used to be more for me to kind of pump me up at getting through certain times. If you're physically having a hard time in a race, later on you're like, then I remember I ran a race, I think it was called Bear Lake. It's in either, I think it's in three states, Idaho, Wyoming, and Utah. It's a 3-day race. Anyway, one of the days there were some ladies there who were cancer survivors, did not know, but you find they're walking the half the same time you're kind of finishing the full, and you're near the end, you're at an aid station, and this one lady's having a hard time with the whole thing, and she's wanting to explain. She's a, you know, she's like, I just got finished with chemo and blah, blah, blah. And you know, that's when you have your phone, because we're lucky that way, and you can show a picture like, I was that way too. And you can share your journey, and you also realize that I'm not going to win this race. I'm doing pretty well today, but I was like, I'll walk you in. You know, it's like, oh no, you keep running. Blow up. Like,
well, you're winning.
It's about
you're
the
winning
community.
The race by getting to the starting line and getting to the
absolutely.
Finish line.
Yeah. I was like, this last 2.5 miles, we're going to walk it in together. I was like, it's what we're going to do. And I'm telling you, this lady, her name was Bobby. She's probably in her 70s. Just the fact she was out there, wanted to do this as a cancer survivor, the things that we do as runners, just the community that we have is, it's about giving back also. Because people have always seemed to be giving to me. So if I can do a few little things in life, and the things you learn from her story, and her getting to talk about it also gets them out of their head. Because you've run, if like me, I've been blessed getting to run a lot of races, so you've learned how to work out of your head enough times.
Yeah.
With her, this is her 113 miles she's doing, you know, and she has hit, you know, like, I don't know what I was thinking, signing up for this, I shouldn't have blown. I'm like, no, you're only 2.5 miles away.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to do it together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, the point you made before about the doctor who doctors who didn't want you to run. It always amazes me how, you know, doctors so often stay in their own lane, and they don't want to see things like how nutrition or exercise can positively affect the outcome in a situation like this. I mean, I've heard many stories of people who just said, you know what, I'm going to take control of this myself, and I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat, you know, a very healthy diet and cut out, you know, whether it's alcohol, sugars, whatever.
Yeah. And I did that. Yep.
Yeah. And what an amazing difference it makes. And somehow they're not educated on that in medical school or something. And yet they refuse to consider anything else.
And I think it's hard to tell a doctor, no, that
I've
got to find someone else. I grew up in the South, and we pretty much are like, oh, no, you're an authority figure, you're a doctor. I'm like, and then you realize, like,
right.
I have a master's also. You just kind of went to school for something different, you know? So it's right. Really, you're just another human. So, and it's ultimately, if you mess up, you're like, oh, well, I'm just a statistic. I'm like, well, this is my life. And this is the one thing that provides me joy and joy. That continuation just provides some centeredness on the bad days, provides, I'm still out there. I'm still moving forward, you know, just like a race, just like the race of life.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm moving forward. I'm doing some, you know, and it's on. I got some horrible, you know, unfortunately, some of the road races, they do a great job of providing those free photos. Oh, I got some ugly pictures. So, you're like, oh, there I am without eyelashes those days. But but ultimately, you know, it all turns around and it becomes a good life experience, because you're not the only one who's not just gone through cancer. I think I wrote before, it's just, whether you're a parent who's lost a child, whether there's so many things everyone has went through that you can't think, I'm special. I had cancer. I'm like, everyone, if you've lived long enough, you got a story. You have something you're doing.
Yeah, of course.
And for me, I feel like the running has provided me a way to stay centered through it. And I think it really could work for most everyone, or if they have some activity or something to find passion in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever have a chance to meet Gary Cahill at the American Heroes Run?
No, I have not.
Okay, no. So you'd probably really relate well to Gary. Gary, great gentleman. He lives up in Estes Park. He was told he had stage 4 cancer of 3 different organs.
Wow!
And basically, he sat there. You know, the doctor, you know, tells him this: we're going to do some tests, whatever. We probably have to lead to some surgery. And he says, "Do you think I need surgery?" He goes, "Yeah, but we're going to." He says, "No, let's do it right now. In fact, give me your phone number." Gary even said, "I want your cell number so I can contact you, you know, whenever." And Gary took complete control of his treatment there. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to wait around. He wanted to get after it. And Gary is not only, you know, surviving, he's thriving. You know, he's out there, you know, he's tried a couple times to run the 100-miler at the American Heroes Run. I mean, he's gotten, I don't know, 50, 60 miles into it. So, you know, impressive enough. He's still going to try to come back and do the 100-miler again. But, you know, that's kind of the attitude you have to have. I mean, I've learned that even with doctors with relatively minor things like my knee surgeries, Achilles surgeries, whatever. It's like, yeah, we grew up respecting doctors and thinking they're kind of on a pedestal. But at the same time, you got to tell them, like, you know what? You know, when they tell me you shouldn't run anymore, you should just consider swimming or biking, I said, you know what? If you tell me that again, you're not my doctor. I'm going to find a guy who's going to get me running
go
again.
Go you. You're right.
Yeah, you got to do the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. With mine, I unfortunately am not quite like the whole, like, let's take control of this whole thing. I initially went like, well, I'm going to go dark. I'm going to pretend like no one who told me this. I don't feel sick. I think it's all make-believe. I can't tell my family, because all they're going to do is feel sorry for me. It's like, I don't want someone to feel sorry for me. And it was actually at your race I was at, where I met Karen.
Yes.
Who, and the things that runners tell other runners, you know,
right.
Complete strangers, never met this person in the world. That was the first person I told I had cancer months later. So mine had already started progressing because of my own fault. And then once I did it, it had been said out loud. And then I was able to, here it is, just another runner, and you're able to talk about stuff. And then our faith, we had similar to that. And from that, I was able to tell family, able to make a plan. And then I was all aggressive, all in. I need this, that first doctor isn't going to work. I need this plan. I need someone who's going to, I'm going to continue running, and we're going to work around it. I'm going to do whatever I need to. So
What a great story. Yeah. Yeah. Karen is a wonderful person.
Yeah. She just happened to be the one there that day, but just as, you know, upbeat kind of person, and hit me at, I don't remember what distance she was doing, but she was in her happy mode. And I was like at mile 15, and it was warm that year. Cause it's in September evening, it was probably 90 at that moment. So I was, you know, I was feeling pretty crappy. And also I look like a runner, but I was feeling pretty rough at that point. And, anyway, getting to tell, that's the things that we tell other people on the trail or in a race that you wouldn't sometimes tell a family member, you wouldn't. And so we have an amazing community with runners. So.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, and you make me think of other times when people have told me things, and I'm like, "Wow, I feel privileged." You would tell
me, but, "Yeah, why are you telling me these things?"
But maybe it's just because we're on a trail together.
Yeah. You find we all have a lot of commonalities. I found that with running the 50 states, the stuff they show on TV, I'm telling you, it's just for a news story. Because I have been, whether it's Vermont, New Mexico, Florida. We're all the same. We all want our children to do well. We all want to take vacation. We all want to own a house. We're all the same people. And the crazy stuff on TV is just a news bite. It doesn't matter what the accent is. Everyone is the same. And it made me, from traveling the world, made me so crazy patriotic that I would have never known, that I just took for granted. And I love to see parts of the world. But when I come back, I'm like, wow, we are... If you can just turn off the TV, I realize it's an amazing place. Like me being excited about Savannah this weekend, haven't been there. I'm super pumped about it. I have no clue what it's going to be. And it's just the excitement of, it's the similarity of the people going to be there. They're going to have a little heavier accent, but it's going to be some kind of crazy fun. I don't know. Yeah.
Probably a lot heavier accent.
Probably.
I've spent a lot of time there myself. But it's like I was telling you off air about my experience going to Lawton, Oklahoma, which Southwest Oklahoma part I'd never been to. It was kind of pretty dismal around there. And then I go and drive to go do a run. And next thing I know, I'm out in the Wichita Mountains. I mean, who the hell knew there were mountains in Oklahoma, much less that? And I'm in a wildlife refuge and I run into like herds of buffalo running around there. Just, it was, who knew?
Your experiences are definitely crazier in mine.
No, I don't know about that. But when were you diagnosed with a cancer, and how long did you have to go through treatment?
I was diagnosed, it's been quite a few years ago. It's 2016.
Okay.
And 2016 or 2017. And I was over for more than 2 years.
Yeah.
Because since I didn't jump on it right away, mine had already started spreading. And also I'm one of those strange people, again, opposite of the other one. Well, we all have our own journey. Doesn't make you strange.
Right.
My journey, I wasn't big on the surgery. I kind of felt like once I'm compromised, anyway, it wasn't something I wanted to do. And I believe in doctors, definitely, because I did not heal this on my own. But I just took control over it. It's whatever my own journey, because I needed it. It's the quality of life. And we don't all control our, if you believe in a higher power, I believe we don't all know our beginning and our end. And sometimes a cancer will kill you, and that's your journey. And sometimes the journey is not about you. I feel like sometimes it could be how I react to it will be the people I meet on that journey.
Yeah.
How will I support them? Or maybe your children need to learn death. I mean, that's pretty dismal, but you're not really sure why you're there. And I think about the people I met on my journey, because when you go through chemo, it's like you're on this all shared room and you all have different cancers, and the people that you met in your cancer journey, I think it's some of the females I meet, they either have breast cancer, because you can get all different kinds, and you're all doing different types of chemos. But the losing hair for a female was so, it's so much more, seems like, as opposed to a guy, we can, shape her head or whatever, but a female, it affects their, who they are as a person. Like it really, and I remember just last year, some of the people that have had now reoccurrences that were in, I feel like my cancer class, my cancer family. Remember this gal, Sarah, I ran a trail race with her in North Dakota, Mudahay. It's pretty, pretty rural North Dakota. Anyway, I noticed last year, you get so many medals if you run as many races as me, and it's you just start taking a medal and you're like, this one is for this person. I'm thinking this day and I'm going to mail it for them. And all of a sudden they say they get a little bit of the Aspen Valley mountain, you know, that all of a sudden they get mailed to their house and you let them know, this was my day, a little quick letter. I'm not a huge letter writer, but you just like, was thinking about you this day. I know you're, you know,
yeah.
I know your struggle and this medal was for you.
Oh, wow.
And then you just, awesome. You know, and they see, you're like, because what else are you going to do with all of them? I've
been, right, right.
This last weekend was Marathon 311. I have just,
wow.
It's crazy. I had never had that planned in my head that that was going to be the plan. But yeah. So there's things you can do with that where it doesn't have to be all about you. In the beginning, yeah, it was, because awesome. I think yeah. we always get focused about ourselves. But the luckily, between the cancer and then having a 2-year pandemic, the blessings that come out of that is that your quality of life, you set the bar so much lower. You're like, I can, I had everything taken away before. So you just really tend to, I don't mean just so cheesy with you don't take everything for granted, but you don't, you just find other enjoyment in the little things. You just spend a little more time. You're also your, I think about my finish times are worse, all of a sudden change a lot slower. And you lose your different folks on Strava first, because they don't know everything you have going on. They of just course. Think like, man, were you injured that time? You get some negativity there. Then you just meet different people. So it's yeah. all gonna, we all go there for different reasons. And like you tell the other folks in the back sometimes, like, unless you're gonna be in the top three, you know what? It's yeah. the same medal for everyone. You just got to finish. Cause I find that, especially for new runners, younger, you know, you get yeah. guns, you're strong, but I don't know if they really put in the training. They're like, I'm 21. And a lot of times piss and vinegar will get you to the end. But you'll see them at, you know, mile 20 something. And they're just dejected. Like, and you're like, come on, man, you can jog it. You can do this. You can right. just kind of move it along. Yeah. So
yeah,
the little things you can do just from your little experience that you have, you don't have to say, I'm in 300 of them. You can do it. You know, you just say, come on, we're going to do it. Just, you know, right. just get them out of their headspace.
Yeah. No, I've been interested to see how many younger people though are now finishing even 100 milers and, they're doing it a bit differently than kids used to. You're right. You'd see a lot, you know, they take off at the beginning and you find them puking on the side yeah. of the road at mile 20 of a marathon.
I can't imagine doing 100. Now I'm telling you, I don't know. It seems completely beyond me. It seems completely impossible.
I'll tell you one thing that David and I always talked about is that even when trained as well as we were for a 100-mile race, you stand there at the starting line of a 100-miler and you're thinking, what the hell am I thinking? It's like, I can't do 100 miles. Even when you're standing right there and, you know, you just break it down. You That's just it. Say, just get me to the next aid station, and yep. eventually becomes get to the next mile, and maybe even later on, it's just like, take another step. You know, it's like, it's all going to get you closer. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it's like looking at the top of a mountain and saying, God, I can't go all the way up there. No, you just, you know, you take a step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? You take, one bite at a time, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yep. So after you got through your cancer treatment, I'm curious, what did the doctors tell you at that point? Did they say like, huh? That what you did really did seem to help out, or not?
There's no one who's going to do that. No. It's kind of up to you to know that, wow, right. It's my life. I took care of it. So I'm really kind of definitely self-motivated in that. I'm a huge goal maker. It seems to be something in life that's done me well. I've been pretty lucky in life. It's just pretty much my own stuff, like, wow. And I know it can come back, that does happen.
Right.
But you just focus on, you know, today and the things and what I want to.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to decide what will the next goal be. What is I want to do? And then something comes up like this year. I'm like, why 100? Like, I wish right. I had a better answer to when you asked me why 100 marathons and 100 mile. I'm like, honestly, it was the 100 miler. I just felt like I keep in my head. It seems impossible and it seems scary. And because of it,
right.
I need to do it, because it's like when you first jump out of a plane, you just like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And you do it and you're like, well, it's done.
Right.
You know, so yeah, just got to rip off the Band-Aid and do it. I've done 50 miles. I did the JFK 50 just last November.
Yeah.
And actually it was a great experience.
Yeah.
I finished well. I had lots of energy at the end, but in my head, this whole 100, that seems crazy.
Yeah. So do you think there is something though to the idea of doing things that are scary? You know, I mean, obviously you say the 100-miler is kind of scary and 50 seemed it, but now it's like, okay, that wasn't that scary.
Is possible. And yeah. I just think we constantly tell ourselves what we can't do, because I think it's easier, because there's so many supportive people that
right.
My family, boy, family and friends, I got some supportive people. the support of people, sometimes that can hold you back. They're right. Like, oh, no, no, don't do that. That's, who could do that? You know, like, I think you miss out on life, though, also. Because even failures, oh, yeah. The things I've learned from the races I haven't finished, of like, I never think like, never going to do that again. Instead, it's, I do think that at the time. But, you know, it's only a couple days later, you're like, what I would do different. I need to do, dial this on my nutrition, because for me, it's usually all related to stomach, it seems like. It seems like my legs can last forever. It's always nutrition related or that type of thing. But what will I do different? And this seems so impossible, but I like, wow. Well, I just want to be clear that I'm not just an adrenaline junkie. I just think that, especially then as we age, I'm not against that, but I just feel like... I just think there's lots of things to do in life, and a lot of opportunities out there that we have, and we either tell ourselves it's too hard, or other people, well-meaning people, also, they're there to support us. That's way too hard. You can just stay back. I'm like, I'm not a TV watcher. I'm not going to sit here and watch TV. It's just, anyway, there's just things. We're all driven by different things, but I think you're right. I think just taking that, I would have once thought the 50 mile are the same thing, and now it's just got to take the chunks different. It's going to be, it's just the overnight thing with the 100 miler. That's, I was telling you before we started, that seems to be my Achilles right now. But
yeah,
I did 2 50Ks over the last summer in the evening. Both were, you know, there's not a great word for it. But anyway, neither one were my best races, but I did finish them. I made up things, but I finished it. And I think if that, because there's no 100 miler, you know, you can finish that. You're not going to see nightfall. So,
right.
Yep. I'm going to figure it out. Anyway, I'm kind of pumped to figure, because I don't know how it's going to go. But you don't know, you can't fail unless you try.
No.
Right.
As long as the failure doesn't kill you. I mean, it's like I was telling you the story before we got on air about when I, jumped off a cliff, literally ran off a cliff up at Mount Alyeska in Alaska, you know, with a parachute on my back. If I failed, I would have died. But yeah. It's like I had a lot of faith there that, like, okay, I'm going to go off that cliff and this thing's going to inflate behind me and, you know, all that. But, you know, even this will air after I've come back from Chile. I'm about to go on that trip. And there are a lot of concerns I have about this thing where we're going to be camping at 12,000 feet. And I already know from being up in Leadville that I don't sleep particularly well at high altitude. Yeah. And I'm going to be going up in elevation way higher than I've ever been before, just under 20,000 feet. And I figure, but why not try this? I mean, that's why I've been doing the Hail Mary PT and chiropractic, because I really want to go on this trip. I just want to see what this is like. This is an experience I may never have an opportunity to do again. So it's like, why the hell not? Let's find out. I mean, okay, maybe I'm not going to sleep very well, but you know what? I can still go out and do the climb, you know, whatever we do. I mean,
because I heard the words first you were saying, well, maybe I can't, but the energy and the voice already, you're pumped about this. You're excited about the opportunity. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to me, the only downside is sitting 19 hours on a plane to get there, you know. that part will suck.
But
other than that, it's like, yeah, this is just a whole different kind of experience. I mean, you know, when I was in Asia, we were all always in an urban environment pretty much. And, you know, the big challenge, and it is a challenge, is even trying to figure out the transit system. You know, it's like nothing was written in a language I understood. What stop do I get off at? What door do I leave? How the hell do I find wherever I'm trying to get to? Yeah. I mean, that's a challenge in itself, but I love that. That's what, you know, actually the part that's enjoyable about traveling to me is taking on this challenge of navigating around and trying to get to things. And, you know, obviously you learn and, you know, trying different beers, trying different food, you know, whatever it is. But this is going to be a whole different experience going up in, I mean, we're going off the grid totally. You know, so
I've experienced with going off grid aside from the Antarctica thing.
Right.
I wanted to do all of Canada because you do all of the US.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't want to be cheesy and just do their 10 provinces at the bottom. You got to add the territories, and to get Nunavut, I needed to go, I had to wait so many years until they had one, created that was north of Resolute Bay on Somerset Island. So you're in the Arctic Circle. And I ran with other people with rifles because you have polar bear, and you're running across the frozen Arctic Ocean. It is in July, and it's completely frozen still. So I know we're all supposed to be able to move our boats across there someday, but it is not happening yet. So just the fact of being isolated and you always feeling cold, and but the beauty of just – just the unknown of not know this, the small little purple flowers that are all of a sudden growing because it's their summer, even though it's, you know, it's finally at 25 degrees above zero Fahrenheit there. But the polar bear out there, and you're like, man, I didn't see that. But I'm running with this young Canadian kid who's a former military person who has the gun on his back because all they've given me is bear spray because I failed the gun exercise. I was shooting it, but it's kind of all over the place. And I couldn't figure out, like, how do people run with a rifle on their back? Like, I should have been told that more in advance. There was enough, you know, there just wasn't enough prep that I was told in advance for that.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're a ski troop somewhere.
That's right? Yeah, right. I think he was originally from Yellowknife, which is one of the other
territories. Northwest Territories, yeah.
So I think he had more experience with that kind of stuff than me living in Colorado, as rugged as we may seem. I'm not running with rifles on my little trail in Louisville, so.
No. Yeah. I mean, we could run into a bear here, as we were talking about before. But did you see any polar bears on this?
Absolutely.
Really?
100%, yeah.
Oh, wow.
100%. And I thought, it seems pretty far away, but the kid I was closer, well, I keep calling a kid, he was in his 20s, wasn't late, he was a child runner.
Yeah.
He points at it, he goes, I was like, luckily for him, he has young person vision. I'm like, for me, I'm like, I don't know, it's all eyes.
It's all white.
Eyes. Everything's white. All I see is eyes. He goes, no, there's one right there, and he's kind of coming towards us, but still so far away. We're going to be down here, and I have the rifle, and says, if it gets within a certain distance, I'll just shoot towards it. It's going to make it run off. Warning shot. I'm like, what? I was like, so had I not, you know, then of course I'm with my cell phone, which you can't, you know, use a cell phone, but it's still, you can use the camera portion, and I'm trying to take a picture, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there is really a polar bear out there. So I do have my pictures of my little polar bear way off in the ice during the run. I saw it more on other excursion days where you're in this camp and people are taking you places to see stuff, but to see it on the run was more concerning, because you're like, I'm just out here. And then I needed to finish a lot faster than I had planned on, because like, I can't lose the guy with the gun. I gotta stay with him.
Yeah. But so, you know what? If you had any balls at all, you would have run in a wearing a SEAL suit.
Not like
a Navy SEAL, but like a SEAL.
Yeah, no, I follow you.
Look like prey for the polar bear and just taunt the hell out of them, right?
Yeah. Well, they always tell, long as you run, you're not the last one to run from the bear. You're okay.
Right.
But the older you get and the more isolated the race, you could be the
last one. Right.
Yeah. So you got to rethink all that.
Yeah. Did they give you instructions ahead of time? Like, oh, you should zigzag because the polar bear can't change direction.
You know what they say? I guess the polar bear is part of the grizzly family. So they are the most aggressive. So the best they could do with the spray was you're going to have to hit it not just once, but probably twice right in the eyes. I thought,
oh, hell, I'd use the whole can, believe me.
Well, I was like, again, you're putting this in your backpack that you're running with. So what am I going to, first, let's assume I get it out. My best hope is to throw it at it and hope it scares it.
You know, right.
Like, there's no way I'm going to have the aim while you're a runner, like, I'm going to hit you twice in the face with it. So I just thought, I'm never going to see a polar bear out here. They're not going to throw a race where there'd be an actual polar bear. There'd be a liability or something. I'm like, well, I guess
no, that's little, why those you sign the waiver.
But you're like, those are fake until you actually see something.
No, I think I'd probably quicker be able to just grab some snow and throw a snowball at it or something.
I would, There's definitely a fight for life thing here. I would figure out something. But I never got to that. That's just a story. That's a make-believe thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucker outweighs you by quite a bit.
It's huge, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I never thought it'd be a lot safer to run in Antarctica. Huh? I mean, nobody's ever really been attacked by penguins during the race, right?
My Antarctica race, I had a giant sea lion, which you don't really think. Actually, with more in sale, there was also a walrus, but the sea lions, it was like literally right in the trail, because there's no roads in Antarctica.
Right
in the trail, laying there, and they tell you not to run up to it because they're pretty aggressive. Because they're the king. You're just visiting as a lowly human. So I remember just stopping there, and all the other people, you just walk way around it. You stop running all together, and you're like thinking this giant fat thing, like, it's going to get me. But in theory, that's what they tell you, that they're a lot faster. But mostly you just see a lot of penguins, and they actually seems, you know, they're birds. So they seem actually super friendly, not scared of you like they would be in the zoo. I don't think they're used to seeing it. They
only see a marathon go by once a year.
Yeah. Their fear is really the closer to the water, because things come out and grab them, killer whales and stuff, and eat them.
But, leopard seals and stuff. Yeah, right.
And seals.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So where in Antarctica did you run this?
I ran King George Island.
Yeah. So right off the Antarctic Peninsula.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember the hard you pretty much land, and then the race starts within 2 hours. They have to set it up, and they want you to get going right away into it.
Right.
Because then leaving, you're there for a couple days, and so afterwards, the problem is you're in your tent. So to get, because I chose the option where they have a plane and they drop you off, where some people take the boat. I think that's why I finished high in this race, because I'm a slow runner. I think the folks that, I think a lot of the elites were probably looking at their pocketbook more and took the boat, which was a lot cheaper and showed up green. I landed, la la la, and I feel like,
right.
But all of a sudden, like, you got to join all the other folks and you don't have seasickness already. Because I understand it's pretty choppy, at least the folks that
look
pretty green from there. And I just landed from a giant military helicopter. It's from Chile that kind of drops you off, or plane, it's not a helicopter.
Yeah.
Drops you off, you land, and then you're down there running within a couple hours. The harder part is at the end, you're in a tent. You know, there's no shower. There's
right.
no, you're eating ramen noodles that are cooked on a, because you pack in, pack out. I learned the things on that race was a difference between the white and the black toilets. You know, they each hold different things. Also, all cultures, you know, they all go to the bathroom different ways. There's a lot of things. There wasn't a man-woman concept. It was some of the cultures are pretty cretins as far as when they got to go. So it's there, and you all are sharing the same one black pot. So
interesting. Yeah, I remember I was on a run in Taiwan, and I went into a porta potty, and it's like, huh. I don't know what to do in this thing here.
Yeah.
that was weird. And then, the other thing too, especially in Japan, is you'd go into, if you're, say, in a shopping mall, go in the men's room there, and there are women in there. They're cleaning, and nobody seemed to really pay any attention to it. So it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll just do my thing in here, and, you know, nobody cares.
The other thing with Antarctica, with, you know, in trail races as guys, we're kind of lucky. You can just kind of aim and shoot wherever you're at. Well, there, it's a big ordeal, because it's a big pack in, pack out thing. You are not allowed. You have to hold it. And it probably took them, oh gosh, probably a good 3 hours to get our camp set up while we had already started the race. Boy, don't hold that.
Chinese
runner who did not, and he was reprimanded, pulled from the race, and he did not get to finish it.
Really?
They said they'd lose their permit, all this stuff, and they were dead set on it. And all of the horrible things he had done for the environment, which he probably, you know, they're probably right, because all of a sudden he introduced something that you're not supposed to. But
yeah,
I thought, boy, they were definitely serious. But I thought, you could have been a little quicker with, I just need my water bottle emptied because I need to refill it up. But yeah, amazing experience. I mean, my gosh, so these are definitely first world problems we're talking about, right? You get the opportunity to go to Antarctica.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is top of my bucket list of places to go to. And I'll show you later on. I've got a whole bunch of really cool stuff from Antarctica here. I'm kind of been an Antarctic buff since I was like in fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy. So yeah, got to get there one of these days.
You know, the things your kids, they do kind of work into your layer. I was hung up on the maps that are in the National Geographic. I had an uncle that worked for National Geographic. I'm not sure what role he is in, because he was, we're pretty common people. So I don't know if he just delivered them. But anyway, he had a lot of National Geographics. And in his trailer, you could pull out all the maps, and Antarctica was one of them. And you just dream. And as you're a kid from a rural area, and you're thinking of all the places someday I'm going to go and see and all that kind of stuff. So, and then get the opportunity later in life to do that kind of stuff. I was, you're hooked. I'm going to find a way. It's not cheap, but you're like, I don't know. Luckily I had cancer, and you're like, you got to go of something. And there's things I want to see.
Yeah. So. And what are you saving it for? Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who actually works for Antarctic Support Associates here. Wow. They do all the support for the scientific and naval operations from right here outside of Denver. And she actually did a circumnavigation of the continent for Y2K. And, she spent, $10,000-$20,000, whatever it was. She said, I'm not going to go on another vacation probably for 5 years after this. She said it was so worth it. And, she showed me the pictures, and just the pristine beauty down there is like nothing anybody's ever seen. It's incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty lucky in life. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
But there's other pristine, beautiful places. Not pristine, but a lot of other beautiful places to see in the world as well.
So yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
you don't
absolutely.
Have to sleep in a tent afterwards where you're like, well, it's at least it's summer here, so it's 15 above zero, but it's snowing on top of my tent, and I just ran a marathon, and I'm feeling hyperthermic, and all they can give me is ramen noodles. So
you're
those
right.
the downsides, you know, but you don't think through. But you, pretty amazing. But what you're saying with South America, I mean, that sounds beautiful. These high peaks you're going to be doing in
right.
Chile, that's...
Yeah,
man, I think there's beauty everywhere. A lot of things to see.
But oh, yeah.
For me this year, it's going to be mostly USA. So as far as just seeing, probably a lot of small towns, a lot of small places, but seeing a lot of between a lot of road trips where I'm driving a bunch and place. But and then of course in the summertime, Colorado, even the winter months, I've already done Arizona because you kind of hit weather that you can survive in. And you get to see a lot of different things and different people. So
yeah.
See
no,
a lot
absolutely.
Of the friends and family that have supported me over the last couple of years. I'm really going to focus on that.
Also
defray some of your travel cost, gives you a place to sleep. So those things are always good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely take advantage. Like this trip to Asia, it was pretty crazy. We spent $204 in airfare for 13 flights.
What?
Yeah, took advantage of cheap flights and, points and miles and things like that. A few years ago, I went to Germany and Switzerland.
Yeah.
I flew during the pandemic. I was literally on an empty plane flying across the Atlantic. It was $300 round trip.
Wow.
And I've got friends in Germany and Switzerland I stayed with. So it's like, perfect.
Wow.
You take advantage of situations when you can, right?
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the other places you've run, I'm sure, have been just as adventurous as Antarctica, maybe. I mean, Africa, I would imagine, would be one of those, or maybe some place in Asia, South America, whatever.
Africa was. South Africa in particular, I chose this race that's in Nysna. It's spelled with a K. It's Dutch, I guess. I don't know. I thought it was all English in South Africa. So
oh no! When I was there, it was very Dutch.
With being a simple person who's just lucked into a lot of these things,
right?
I was something like, everyone's got a crazy accent from this whole Dutch thing,
right?
But the opportunity, because it's off season, a lot of marathons, it's their winter time. So I got to stay in this elephant lodge. And the currency there is super advantageous to us Americans. So it turned out between the off season, it was like $8 a night. And this lodge, it was me and then another family on the other side of the lodge. And then no one else was there because it's wintertime. So in the evening, all these elephants come in because the lodge is shaped kind of like either a C or a U kind of thing. So they kind of come in the middle part of it in the evening to get out of the elements because it's wintertime for these elephants. Well, for all of us, but to them, this is like, well, it wasn't like cold, but it's not Africa hot, I guess. And then you find out like some elephants stand up, some sleeps laying down, some sleep together. Some have the blah, 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 kind of snore. Some have just the poor, huge, loud snores. It was just crazy. Cause during the evening time, so you don't bother them, they give you these, infrared light, glasses that you watch. So you can kind of watch the elephants because they all kind of come into your lodge as the shelter and you just can sit up there and watch them. It's like, what experience? I mean, just the fact that you get this opportunity just because you run and you're running in a town that's near there. So pretty amazing experiences getting to,
a lot
of cool things like have happened in life. I've gotten run in Russia before. Now we're not supposed to talk about things like that because Russia's, bad people now.
Well, we can talk about it,
But you get to run and you get to see the Kremlin. And you can see all these exotic places. You're like, how would I ever get the opportunity to do those, those kind of things? So
neat.
The peoples are different and the different cultures, that kind of things, which... because I'm from a town of 800 people a million years ago. And you think of wow, the things you get to do. And a lot of this, but I do find whether you're in a different country or whether you're in a different, or within the U.S., runners are all the same in the heart. Whether you can understand them or not, that may be different. But we have the same, everyone hits the wall. Everyone's supportive of each other. It's pretty amazing. Some of the mistakes, I remember I ran in Brazil, one, not knowing the language. Portuguese is not Spanish. But I ran Sao Paulo, and I guess they do the wave. You're supposed to honestly tell everyone what your finish time is. But on this one, they wanted to know what I thought was your how much minutes a mile you run. But they're obviously kilometers. So I was in Prieto. They did everything by a color, which I think is black. But I was like, I don't know. Everyone in my group, they do not look like runners. I was like, I don't think so. I was so far back because I had messed up the whole mile versus kilometer. So I was way back with the walkers. So it was, yeah. You know, so all the opportunities you get. I remember in that race in particular, I caught a parasite from the water you get from your little aid stations.
Oh, that's the
thing you bring back. And living in Colorado, the good folks at King Super aren't able to really diagnose that you may have a body parasite, you know, during when you come back and it's, you know, it's snow season here. So
right.
They aren't quite thinking like, hey, have you been until, you know, you go somewhere and they ask about your travel and you're like, well, I was in Brazil, blah, and they're like, oh my gosh, we would have never,
yeah.
Unless you provide some information. So yeah, I think there's some pretty cool things that happen in life in a lot of places. But there's also
Getting a parasite drinking water is cool, yeah.
Crazy. But aside from just these crazy world places, in the U.S., I think my first time I ran all the 50 states, probably more key to this because I'm from Colorado, I loved Oregon the best. I ran one in Crater Lake.
Yeah.
And again, this is one of these where I didn't know this national park even existed. And they close half the park, which
right.
is rare because in our area, you know, when they do the Rocky Mountain, I think it's a half in Estes.
Yeah,
you
I've
really
run
get
that.
A view of the park.
Yeah, you're not in it.
In the park.
No, we ran right by it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this one, you're actually running in the park. They close it down for, and they had some elevation, and it was a good day for me, so that's probably why I have a good memory of it. But I remember just the pristine part of that water. The water's created from this crater.
Oh, yeah.
It's created from some dormant volcano. Well, it was a volcano active once upon a time, and then the water, the only thing is in there, there's no river. It goes in or out of it. It's just collected rainwater from millions of years. That's it. So it's all
yeah.
crystal clear, and you're like, I did not know this existed. So
really?
Between that, you're like, I am in Oregon, in a part that I know, the southern part. You know, you're normally thinking Portland or Eugene, all these things
right.
you've heard of, but you're like, wow. So I think of that being some of the amazing, I think of some of the states I didn't expect, because we have this view and I sometimes are ahead of what we think things are going to be. Kentucky. Completely green, gorgeous. Ran Churchill Downs. You get to run actually on the track where the horses go.
Nice.
And then the next day you can go to Mammoth Caves. You're within an hour of there.
Yeah.
So who knew that it's just, you can go spelunking, like literally there you are with your little rappel thing, like a day after your marathon. You're like, the chance you, I'm like, I did not know Kentucky was cool. I had no
right.
clue. Louisiana, ran in Baton Rouge, and amazing food, like this whole Creole type of food. And I'm a foodie. So
yeah.
Just some amazing, you know, so there's some great experiences, a lot of unexpected things.
Oh, yeah.
There's some negative ones, too. I'm not going to share those. But let's just focus on
the positive.
Oh, why not?
Those make the good stories, too.
No, this is, yeah. some of the places, you're like, yep, you're right in the reputation I thought it was going to be. But for the most part, everything was, I think, a surprise. Just, you just open up your eyes to what, you haven't been there. So
right.
just things that we have heard on the news or see. Again, I would just tell folks to, you know, just get out there, just live the life experience. I don't think the things on TV are fake. I just think they find the 1% thing that's going to sell, you know, because it's just a business. I used to work for
right.
Fox News a million years ago in my first life. And it's just a matter of selling what's going to sell, what people want to see,
course.
What the news bite is. And then you think, wow, I don't even watch TV these days. What a change in life and the places I've seen versus thinking, this is just how diverse our country is, you know, between the beaches, the Rocky Mountains, the accents that people have, and it's all within our same country. It is, we are in the, by far, the greatest opportunity that you can go from a town of 800 people and grow up on a farm, and you've went to all, you know, you've been to every continent, even the fake continent of Zealandia, so you've been to all 8 continents, so you can add that extra one.
I don't even know what that is. But
well,
okay.
When they go there, they try to tell you New Zealand is its own continent, that it's not
oh.
really part of Australia, that
all
it's
right.
own. Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't have any stamps in my collection from Zealandia,
well,
but I do it from New
Zealand.
Yes,
yeah. So that's the other 8th one that you get. So
yeah.
Anyway, there's just some great within our own country, just between the deserts. I've run Death Valley, so I've gotten to do, not Badlands, not the one that
Badwater, yeah.
Badwater, that I keep right. watching videos on going, I don't know, their shoes, they melt on the highway. It's like,
right.
I can't even do 100 miles. This is 135. But those crazy things, you know, you watch those videos, just get
yeah.
in your head, they inspire, and you're like, I don't know. Is that
right.
in my future someday? we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not calling it out. That's not what I'm saying is going to happen.
But no, no.
Anyway, but there's a lot of cool things within our own country. Just doing your all of a sudden seeing bison all of a sudden in southwestern Oklahoma.
Right.
Where would that be? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It reminds me of I was visiting somebody in Sun Valley, Idaho a few years ago, and there's a national monument up there, a national park called Craters of the Moon.
Oh.
I had no idea about this thing. And you go east of Boise, and I mean, it is desolate beyond belief out there. And it gets even more desolate when you hit this thing called Craters of the Moon, where it's a huge lava field. I mean, enormous. It's just black everywhere you look. And I stopped, it was November. So there was some patches of snow on the ground, and there was no visitors really that time of year. And I stopped in at the ranger station. I asked the guy, you know, where do you run? And he said, well, you know, the longest route we have is something called the Wilderness Trail, and it's named for a good reason. He said, you won't find anybody else out there. We don't patrol. Wow. You won't get a cell signal. So if anything happens to you out there,
you're on your own.
You're done.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. And so I went out and ran on this thing, of course. You know, that's my first instinct. It's like, oh, hell yeah, that sounds great. And I would leave footprints in the patches of snow because that was like my trail of breadcrumbs.
Oh, wow.
So I could find my way back because everything there looks the same. You're just in a giant lava field. And it was cool as hell. But
wow,
yeah, who the hell knew that was out there, right?
Speaking a lot, because I've seen a lot of a rural of America positive. Here's a pot. I feel like with running all the 50 states, that if your car breaks down in the Midwest states, the flyover states, Iowa, Nebraska, those people will let you stay in your house and let you stay there for a day or two while they're ordering parts to the small town your thing broke in to fix your vehicle. I found they were some of the most genuine people. They are like, wow, who knew? The things you find just beautiful people all over our country. But I felt there, I thought, I felt like you people are almost naive. You know, there are bad people out there.
Right.
Yeah, but I felt like,
Did that actually happen awesome to you people. Out there?
It did not, but I kept thinking, sometimes you're isolated and kept thinking, what happens if I'm, you know, like to your point, I've got no cell signal. I am on this road trying to find this little small town of Carlisle, Iowa, because I'm supposed to, like, whatever you're doing, and then you start thinking through it, and I thought, the people I met, because they either people or they're supporters, I find, it's not necessarily the runner in that. Sometimes you see the people that support them, those kind of families, you're like, these people are salt of the earth. They're awesome people. So
you bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found in certain countries, like when we were in Asia, everybody was so nice and so polite. I found that a lot in South America too. I mean, did you have experiences on your runs where you maybe found yourself, you know, like, oh, am I going to be stuck here, whatever? And you just found, oh, everybody was so helpful and nice.
Luckily, a lot of mine have been English speaking. I went on a tour of New Zealand and I did a run every day I was there, and I got lost more than a couple times. And where folks, you can just run into someone and they kind of, I don't know, their version of English of, I guess I'm going to go another left and a right and how many their kilometers they said, and it's all going to work out. But I found places where either in Italy, I'd run out of water. I went on too long of a trail run because I don't know. I'm not great with it. Maybe the miles, the kilometers was certainly more than what I should have done that morning. And it was a lot more elevation than what Google doesn't quite pick up all that stuff. When you're just trying to find your daily run if you can't quite understand anyone. And someone let me use their water hose that was on near their house and those kind of things. So, so I've had some great, I've not had any negative experience with anyone. I've had, Chile actually, where you're heading, okay, dogs are rampant there, just let you know. So in your morning run, they will...
Dogs to pet.
They
great.
Will... they go in packs.
Yeah.
And Romania, same thing. They go in packs. So you have to kind of just walk till everyone... I'm going to walk for a few minutes and you all are calming yourself down before I'm going to pick up a pace so you don't become prey. So there's certain places on your daily runs that are not perfect. But the people themselves, I have not went a place... even Russia, all the places that are... People think people would be harsh at this, but the regular people, everyone's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may look at you strange. Some places they'll see you running and you're like, I don't know what he's doing out there. Like, where's he running from? What's he doing? Or
that's true. Yeah.
And plus sometimes because you're, albino Caucasian and there you are running and wherever you're going and they're like, you stand out, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I discovered in Europe is I always stood out as a runner, even among other runners, because I was wearing shorts.
Oh.
Yeah, over in, I was surprised in Europe how they all run in long pants. And so, yeah, I stood out, and they kind of knew, and kind of like, you know, I would say hello or, you know, bonjour or whatever country I was in. And it's like, they wouldn't respond because they knew I was American.
Well, probably because people can't see because it's a podcast, but you wear that bikini cut. So that's probably what made the shorts stand out, you know, as you
were
wearing the bum shorts as you were running down.
Yeah, no, I'm not on the models of Instagram or anything like that, no. thanks a lot. But, you know, it's something you mentioned before that you hadn't given much thought to is like, if you're – it's one thing to be out on a run and, like, you're carrying your own water or something in a foreign country. But if you're in a race, generally you're kind of reliant on whatever is at the aid stations. And, that kind of makes you a little wary. It's like, if I'm doing a marathon in – wherever, you know, BFE, Middle East, you know, do I want to drink the water there or not? Or am I just going to end up having to carry everything I'm going to use?
Yeah, I carry most everything everywhere I go now. The Brazil thing was,
because
it was a road race. I mean, it's a big city race. And then she's like, I got it from the aid station? You're like, are you kidding me? I think of all the crazy things in life you do between, you know, we're even told in Colorado, don't get Giardia, you know, as far as your hiking and you carry a little, you know, now I either carry my life straw and I usually, you know, so you can have your own filter if you have drinking out of stream, or you carry as much water as you can, you know, physically carry. That actually, because then it was in the Berlin Marathon maybe 2 years ago or something. Well, that's a major. They're not going to let you carry your little hydration pack. So
they won't?
No, because that's, you know, it's a major race. So therefore they're focused on security and that. They're not sure why you would need all of a sudden bring. You're like, man, this is a road race. We've got, you know, Kipchoge is going to run this. He's on the medal. So it's like, what do you think? It's not trail. You don't need this. I was like, I don't want to get a parasite.
I was going to say, he's from Kenya. He's had a lot worse. Yeah.
I've run in Egypt. I got lucky to run Cairo before. A lot of smog, but I tell you, and I think a lot of people were super negative at the concept. I had a great time. They were, the run group I was with, I think was concerned something were going to happen to Americans, which made my experience amazing because it was like their local run group. They had one or two, in my case, it was two people that would run with you your entire marathon. So it was kind of like, it's like you had fake pacers in a way. They were with you and they'd sit and talk to you. Most of them, they spoke pretty good English. I felt like I could understand what was going on considering, you know, I'm in your country. You're not in mine. So it's like I should, you know, but I know no Arabic. I had a great experience just because of the people that were with me, that were running with me. And they had the best families, their own stuff, because they would just have cars pulled over. Because I don't think they had our type of aid stations, but they would have their own families that just have their trunk pulled up. They had oranges, dates. Who knew that dates was such a great food to eat? When it's warm
total
outside,
sense,
so it was awesome. Although it was a bit smoggy, you get the people that are with, just the experience. Again, it goes back to the people of the community of runners that we have. Just didn't matter what your language is, what your country is, where you're at. People do it for different reasons. Some of us can't diet, so to stay slim, we have to run extra. So if you, or it keeps us centered,
right?
Provides. Way of solving life issues like the cancer thing, I think, from being a runner.
You
break it down in small pieces. It's 100% the same thing. You don't over panic. You hear the stuff they're saying. Part of it then, if you do panic, you just go on a big run. You're like, I got to do something because it's all the crazies are going off my head like on a trail run.
Yeah.
But you start breaking it up going, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with this, but I'm going to take control. I'm going to just get to the first aid station. That's all I can control is this portion of it. And then I'm going to recoup where I'm at that aid station. I'm going to get new supplies if I need them, or I get some of the stuff I brought with me. Then I'm going to, how far is it till the next aid station? And the cancer journey was exactly the same way. Other thing, you just take it down in pieces, where I'm at this aid station, where I'm at this stage, and I'm going to move to the next thing. So
yeah, So did you have days where maybe you got some bad news, or maybe you thought, I'm not feeling that good, and I'm not maybe progressing with this the way I'd hope, where you said, you know what, I'm just going to go out and go do a run and kind of at least got you over the hump that day?
I had a lot, especially the chemo days. You know, yeah. You come in, you're sick, and they're like, well, just rest that day. I'm like, I was at this one race in North Little Rock, Arkansas. It was called Three Bridges Marathon. I was super sick because it's in December and it's not the year. We all do what we need to do financially. Well, our healthcare plans are on calendar year plans. So I was like, I had already paid my deductible for the year. It's like, I need to get in all this chemo now. You need to hit three treatments this month.
Yeah.
I know we're supposed to do it every 6 weeks, but I'm 100% covered right now. So we're going to pop it in there.
Oh, man.
Not a great decision.
Right.
Before marathon, I was pretty sick in that one. And I remember walking it and just not feeling great. But luckily, it's called Three Bridges. You could go to walk over a bridge. The sun comes up, and the sun over a bridge, even in wherever you're at, it's just... it helped the headspace of just sometimes just to get out. And I think if you just keep moving forward, it yeah. will get better. You find that, especially at trail races, as you know, because you're a much better runner than me. But there's definitely, there are good days and bad days, but I definitely find that it, on the bad days, just to keep it, you know, keep the crazies at bay. So you keep everything centered.
Right.
And then, there's going to be a lot more, I find in life, there's definitely a whole lot more great days and bad days. Cause I mean, especially where we live and what we get to do and
yeah.
our lifestyles, I mean, just that we're all living in America. That's a great thing with getting to travel. Is like how lucky we are of every, you can change anything about your life.
Right.
Anything that looks bad today is just, also you got to filter what goes in your head. Cause what goes in there can stay there. Just like food.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just your mental nutrition. So what you've decided to feed into that head, well, those crazies seem to come out on bad days and they happen in the later miles of the races. So watch what you put in.
You're right. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times I'll hit challenges in life and, you know, I'll look and say, you know what? I've run races that are much tougher than what I'm going through right now, basically. And, but you know, you're kind of the flip side though. I mean, you know, are there times when you say, this run isn't going to be that hard because I've gone through cancer. I mean, does it help you with running, you know, giving you a different perspective or different grit, if you would, just to get through runs?
It does in later stages especially, but yeah. I still go through it a lot, especially if you have a certain time goal you're wanting to hit. Like this year, I want to, I don't want to call it out, but I want to, in addition to 100, I would love in my head, if somehow you get a PR in a marathon, that'd be amazing. I'm not sure if you can go back in time 12 years, but whatever, we'll see. But I just think you have, the start, you get nervous still. Sometimes I get nervous going to a start. But then once you get in, you're in there. But I find the later miles definitely, because you've done so many, it does help. You're like, as I've told, actually with other people, just going, it's still just going to be 26. You're not going to get in there. Well, that's until they run trail. But right. You know what I'm saying? And then you're like, it's not going to be a surprise. It's going to be 29. It's still, it's a set amount of miles. So you're going
right.
to, it's going to
finish. Unless you get lost, everybody. Right.
Well, unless you get lost. Well, yeah. So you got to watch those. So you got to tell the person on a road marathon. Yeah. For the most part, you're pretty safe on those. Yeah. On trail, you know, it can be kind of any distance. But the awesome part is what they tell you is they don't charge you for the extra miles.
Yeah, that's true.
And as I've told the folks in the road marathons, because you know you always hear of, because there have been some that have been short, you know, 26.2. Well, they don't count. You know, it's like you've run, and it's 25.9. I think it was Pittsburgh once did it 1 year. Anchorage. I think my friends that were in Anchorage 1 year, that flew up there and they're trying to do the 50 stage and thinking I flew all the way to Alaska and it was short that year.
You're right.
So.
Well, they could do. I ran. A disaster of a race one time. It was a turkey trot in Lake Norman, North Carolina, outside of Charlotte. And the course was basically laid out like a letter Y. So you'd kind of go out and run up one arm of the Y, run up the other arm of the Y in back. And they had a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon. So depending on what distance, you'd run so many times up and down the Y. Well, in any case, I ran this incredibly fast time in the 5K. I was, my nephew, who was a high school cross country runner, was running, and I remember like in the last half mile, I passed him. And I was feeling really good about myself. Like, I beat this high school cross country runner, you know? And I got in, and my time was like 17 minutes. And, you know, by, you know, I was already in my 50s, I think, at this point. So I'm like, ooh, I'm pretty sure I don't run that fast. Well, then later on, at the finish line, this one guy comes over to the race director, and he was all pissed off because he was in the half marathon, and he was pointing at his watch. He goes, my watch says I only ran 11 and a half miles or whatever it was. And, you know, I said, I didn't get my money's worth out of this. You know, I was supposed to run a half marathon. And the race director had a perfect response, and, well, kind of sassy, but he says, well, go out and run some more then.
Oh, nice.
So I suppose if you're running this marathon and, you know, you went all the way up there and found out it was short, it's like the same answer. It's like, well, go out and run some more, so at least it'll count now, right?
Well, it was one of those, you know, they're official things as far as the not being able to count it. Even if you you personally could count it, it doesn't count in as far as your totals because it's not U.S. whatever certified.
Yeah, so, but blah, blah, blah. If you were recording it on your Strava, I mean, if it's a Strava, it's 100%. For real.
Well, you know, well, and do you always end in an even number? What do you have on your Strava? Do you just end it when you run, or do you have to run to
Well, first of all, none of my runs are in Strava. I don't do that. I think it's funny. Some people have actually like followed me on Strava, and it's like, well, good luck, because I only have Strava because some athletes I coach have Strava, and that way I can follow them. But no, my firm belief is I'm never a slave to the watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, I coach an adult run group, and sometimes we'll get done with a run and people are like, well, my watch says we ran 5.898 miles. So I'm going to go out and run around the parking lot once to make sure it's six. It's, to me, I don't care.
I'm not actually a slave to, I do on, especially on trail. I like to know how far I'm along in the race. It's mostly, well, I don't know. I do a lot of the races actually. I backtrack on that, but where I don't do it, even my friend Karen all of a sudden calls, like, do you train like at all? Because I already have my daily routes. I do. I have my 7 mile run. I might be like, so I don't wear my watch in the morning. I was like, I don't need it. I was like, I don't know. I know that I'm up there. Right. I'm doing it. People are like, it looks like all you do is show up to races and you run that. It's like, looks like you never trained. I'm like, if it's a new trail in my area, I will do that. I'm trying something new just to figure out the amount of miles I'm running and try to figure out the route. But other than that, I'm the same way as far as just, I think it's just good to get out there because really I'm up there to see the sunrise that day or be the ground, you know, the whatever the things you're looking at.
Yeah, no, that's why when I go out on a trail run somewhere, I don't wear headphones. I'm just, I'm out there just experiencing everything. And you can see this is the crappy old Timex Ironman watch here. It all tells me is, you know, I hit start and I hit stop and it tells me how many minutes I ran. And I go, okay, well, that's probably about 5 miles or whatever. And That's what goes into my log, you know?
Gotcha. I'm on Garmin only because I have a nephew who works there, like in the IT part. Well, yeah. Actually, it's a nephew. Actually, it doesn't matter. But anyway, get the employee discount. 75% off.
Oh, okay, well, we'll talk about this afterward here. And see if you can help out a friend.
Because everyone, you know, in this area, everyone's trying. I'm trying to think what the brand is you're supposed to have. But it was like, well, you beat my 75% off. Yeah.
No, you can't beat that.
And it doesn't seem to die because I don't think I use it enough or something. So I think it's 4 or 5 years old already. I was like, well, it does what I want. It has great battery, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my biggest thing is with my eyesight, I can see great at a distance, but I can't see near without glasses.
Oh, no, 100% can't see. I have to feel the... the buzz that it does at the mile.
Oh, really?
So I count the buzzes. So I feel like, okay, I've gotten 20 buzzes. I know where I'm at. You know, if it's on trail, you know, road marathons, you're going to have markers somewhere because those are pretty well marked. But on trail, especially, trying to get a feel for, again, if you're just doing from aid station to aid station, they're saying 7 miles. I'm trying to feel 7 buzzes till I know that somewhere near, you can kind of get a feel if you run enough also with how far you've gone.
Yeah, but how do you keep that in your head? I mean, I'd be out there going, oh, was that the third buzz
or the
fourth
buzz? Well, you could also, you know, you can look at the watch, but I'm just saying if you have bad eyes, because I have bad eyes, then you'd be stopping, looking. I mean, you can. Anything's possible. I mean, it's your own choice.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, if you run enough, you also get feel of your own equipment and stuff. And I know, seem kind of crazy there. It's like you're feeling just these buzzes on your wrist. I'm like, I don't know, if you do it enough, you're
right.
Yeah. it's not like you're counting to 100, you know, it's a, and yeah. you know, on road, if you're on foot, it's not like you're cycling. I have plenty of time to think of a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
I'm not a fast runner. So
yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy when it buzzes. Then the next story goes on in my head.
Well, that's like yeah. you've made it to the next aid Absolutely. Station or whatever.
Yeah.
So I use an interesting mnemonic of sorts when, you know, if I'm in the pool, I hate the pool, but sometimes I've had to do it because, you know, I'm in constant rehab mode and cross training. And I keep track of the laps by uniform numbers of New York's teams that I root for, especially New York Yankees, because they've retired all these numbers. So, you know, lap number 3 is Babe Ruth, lap number 4 is Lou Gehrig, lap number 5 is Joe DiMaggio, et cetera, et cetera. That's how I keep track of these things.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, like I said, I can see the big numbers on this watch, and that's all I need because that just tells me how much time. But I can't.
Swimming is really aggressive in this area. The one year I was training for the Ironman, I had to actually swim, so you have to do laps. And you're looking at the people in the pool, and these people, I think they think there's a Senior Olympics out there. It was like, chill, everybody. They're watching their time. They look at their watch, and they're like, all I'm doing, like you're saying, I'm just getting laps. I'm counting. I don't have the great love of the Yankees, but I'm counting by fives. That's the best thing to do is 5 laps and then 5 more. And, you know, you have to dumb it down for us simple folk. But
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But we all find our own little ways of getting through it. Yeah, but swimming, boy, it's definitely an aggressive sport. Just the folks that do it, they're definitely into it. So go them. I just find them just too simple, I guess, for a lot of stuff. So I think it's what tricks you into running to realize I spend just as much as the rest of them do. But in the beginning, they go, yep, you just buy some shoes and you get out there and do it on your own. Yeah. No equipment necessary until you run a few marathons. Then you need your watch. Yeah. You got your, like, ooh, I got to have this backpack. I have this hydration pack. This one works best for me on this day. Yeah.
So
that said, I still have a lot of little simple things. I keep my little mustard packets on the hot days in case you need a little vinegar for your stomach. You got all the crazy stuff you do when you
mustard packets. I've never heard that one before.
I ran a race in Sacramento, and it's right near the Bakersfield. So I guess what's supposed to be a crappy part of California. But anyway, it's by some university there, UC Bakersfield probably. But the people, the kids that were there, their little track team, that's what they end up using. They all were passing out mustard packs. I'm like, okay, that's kind of disgusting. But then after, if it's super hot and it does kind of between providing you, because it's got a heavy vinegar into it, but it ends up settling your stomach and, you know, you can get the cheap little packets at McDonald's.
Well, yeah.
Similar to your salt things. You could, in the beginning, I was doing Wendy's because Wendy's have those little salt packets. And then, you know, then you run 300 marathons and you're bringing the fancy electrolyte tablets if you get sick. You're like, I'm not doing no salt packets no more. But, you know, you start off and you.
But on the other hand, you say, boy, it costs a lot more than those salt packets I stole from a fast food restaurant.
I don't know if those really helped anyway. I think sometimes a lot of that's mental. But
yeah. You know, obviously people the latest thing has been pickle juice, you know, and I wonder if the mustard packet is kind of similar because of the vinegary nature of that.
I think it's the same concept. And I think pickle juice works great too. I just find that with me, I'm so finicky on my stomach because I tried it before.
Right.
I find if I'm later in a trail race, I can do the pickle juice. If it's somewhere like at mile 15 and it's a, you know, 50K to a 50 mile, that's a puke fest just waiting to happen. That's like having Coke early on in the race too. I'm like, although, you know, these amazing athletes, these elites, there are people that are eating sugar and all kinds of amazing things to fuel. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I am just an old regular person that just runs a bunch. So I just need certain things at certain times.
And
I find if you overstimulate the body, it's like, nope, old person, I can only eat simple things because I can't break it down. I find Cheap Man's baby food, stage 2.
Right.
That works. That's great.
I do know people eat baby food.
I do that. Yep. It's cheaper than buying a whole lot of the gels anyway. So you can get stuff with kale so you can be healthy. I know you're a very healthy person, so you can throw the kale, apple, and pear. That's a nice combo because you get kind of offsets the kale taste. These things are, they come in the little pouches already. So lots of little silly things you could do, mostly more on trail, on road races.
Yeah.
It's really, unless you're planning on spending the day there, you know, it's a finite amount of time. And plus they have aid stations everywhere. So it's pretty much catered to. I had to learn all these things when you start going trail. Super hard to, as a road person, to switch a trail. It's not the miles. There are some, the ruggedness of it all. It's the amount of hours. It changes, which is why I probably am now wanting to do the 100. It's you have to figure, because in a marathon, you know, 4 hours, you don't need to eat. You're like, no. So what? You do every day at 8 o'clock, you're just got to eat by 12 or otherwise the world's going to, I'm like, if it's 1 o'clock, you're probably going to be okay. You'll probably be fine.
Right.
So I don't think it's necessary that you have to, but on trail, you're out there 8-10 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And so that amount of time you have to eat. Well, if you eat too much, you're sick. If you eat too early, you get sick. If you eat too late, you've waited too long, and then you bonk. It is like this whole crazy thing of has nothing to do with the run itself. It has to do with your nutrition of when you eat, how much you eat, constantly eat a little bit, you know, so many hours, and what you eat, that it's more something you can digest, that you don't try something new on your first day. All the things they tell you, and you're like, well, now I get all these rules that people have. It's like, yeah,
right.
Trail is definitely just the amount of hours, and I think it is going to benefit in this somehow finishing 100-mile thing, just the knowing your body and what has worked thus far and,
right.
and getting the nutrition throughout the whole crazy 30 hours that I'm hoping to finish by.
Yeah. Well, I mean, key thing you said there is
that what you give me 30 hours of that race?
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking that's, yeah, that's why it's the goal.
But the fortunate thing is, you know, like the Leadville 100, you know, you get 30 hours to finish it, but you're going up and down mountain passes and junk. This is flat as a pancake, right. as you know. So,
well, yeah, start somewhere.
Yeah.
You got to finish one. Well, and then you have, because I'm telling you, especially being from Colorado, you go to South Carolina. So, have you run Leadville? And you're like, no, I'm a loser. I just run races. So it would be nice to get to that point.
So they think everybody in Colorado just runs
Leadville,
they're
like,
huh?
Yeah. Because if you look remotely athletic and they know, oh my gosh, you run trail, I'm sure you run Leadville. I'm like, we all don't run Leadville and Hard Rock and all these, you know, it's like we love to do that. Some of us are just 50K runners so far. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we, so far. But
yeah.
We all have dreams too. I think it's, I don't think we have to be limited by age. And I think sometimes I've learned sometimes you can gut out a lot of stuff, especially through the cancer time. I was like, mentally, if you're strong, yeah. But that said, I'm planning on putting in the training to get through this, you know.
Right.
I don't know if you can gut out 100. You know, I doubt it. For me, I feel like I will put in the time.
So. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly an advantage to experience. I mean, you know, in a lot of cases, I mean, you know, I've run Leadville 9 times before. And so there's a certain amount that, you know the course, you know a lot of what to expect out there. I mean, but I still have to do the training, you know. It's, I can't go in there just so, like I am right now.
So you're interviewing someone, and then you're like, the 9 times I ran Leadville.
Well, I haven't done 313 marathons either.
Well,
right, or 311.
I think you're, I think your Leadville counts for 5, right?
Okay, maybe 5.
Wow, no, what an experience. Go you, man.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I'm still trying to I've got the goal of, you know, a minute this year. I've got the goal of trying to be the first person to finish it in 4 different 10-year age groups.
Wow.
So,
nice.
But I got to get this one. So,
yeah. Nice.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
But, you know, your point is that, yeah, we're all an experiment of one in terms of what we need in terms of our food and what works for us. I mean, I'm fortunate I have kind of an iron gut. I mean, I've eaten things like...
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. I've eaten pizza. I've eaten turkey sandwiches, you know, back when I
did.
Yeah. You've done all that.
I ate Burger King hamburgers.
There you go. You sound like Courtney Dewalter.
In Virginia, that's what I was doing. I was like, and they were like, people are taking pictures. The agents are like, I brought them with me. I didn't know what you're going to bring. It was trail. It's like, I brought a Burger King's pretty cheap. Here I was just chowing on Whoppers. And they were looking at like, this guy is crazy.
You know? Right.
But unfortunately the stomach days are now I'm into baby food. So
Yeah.
Well, in a different age group.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say for some people, you know, food is food, fuel is fuel, whatever. Is this because of the stomach cancer that you've
got? I'm guessing age. I'm trying to overthink it, but either way, it's a real thing. She can fight it and fight it. But you're like, you know, the puking. Women are super strong. I find guys, it's just like the flu. You get the flu, you're like, I think I'm going to die. You don't just get the flu. You just like, I would have to quit because I'm going to die. I'm like, a woman get it. They're like, I got to rethink this. I just have to push through it. And you're like, how do you do that? I feel the least bit of nausea and I'm like, I'm sure I'm dying. I'm sure I'm just going to, it's just me. I'm going to be out on the trail. They'll just find the body out here because there's no possibility I can walk another step. So it's really, that's where I feel like being the weaker sex as far as really having to learn to push through things has been a struggle. So luckily, right.
Well, they've gone through childbirth. Yeah, right.
I guess. I don't know. Just right. stronger mentally. So it's just a matter of surround yourself with a friend base of lots of different folks that are good at things.
There you go.
From all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'll give you something that I've used that may be good for your stomach. Then is a little bit a little offbeat is those Ensure or Boost shakes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That you know, generally they try to market to senior citizens. So they get enough protein, whatever. But I've often found they're like 200 calories of pre-digested calories, basically.
Yeah.
And they don't taste good. They've got to be really cold, and I get my tongue out of the way and just slam it down so I don't taste it at all. Yeah. But
In particular, you're talking about the 100 miler?
In any ultra I've done, yeah.
Well, the other ultras you'd be carrying them, like the 100 miler, at least you're going to have like, you can carry certain things, but you're going to be able to crew a lot of stuff. You either have a crew or you're going to crew a lot of your own self. So I'm completely open to, I'm thinking that's great as far as getting more calories in over time. When you're, because I find over time you just get like, I don't really need to eat. I don't really feeling it. And then I get behind on calories.
Yeah, no, that will kill you in 100 miler. You never want to get behind. Yeah. But yeah, you know what? I'll throw in my drop bags, for instance.
Okay.
So if I get somewhere and I feel like I need some calories, but maybe I'm not quite feeling like solid food, it's like, hey, I'll just slam that and get a couple hundred calories right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yep.
They have anything but chocolate? I'm not a big on the chocolate. I've done the chocolate shirt. I'm like, I don't know. Heart rate goes up, I'm up, then I'm down. Like sugar's not been my friend. So that's what I find but I'm guessing they have other flavors.
Yeah, and I don't think they have a lot of sugar in them. It's just, you know, they're artificially flavored chocolate or vanilla or whatever. Right. I mean, they do have other flavors. I usually do go for the chocolate because that's the one I find most palatable, even though they're not palatable.
Well, I have all summer to learn to train with it because I'm going to do this thing in September. Right after Labor Day.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm all pumped about it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's already happened.
I know. I saw you've signed up. I will have some of those Ensure shakes at the aid station just for you. Just
nice.
Yeah. Actually, maybe I will actually just bring some. I mean, you know, last year we had the custom food station there, which was just a huge hit.
I think you're just pretty much saying you're against my mustard packets, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not. No. In fact, I learned something in Leadville last year that I'd never seen before at a race that we had at the American Heroes Run this year, which was olives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I bring the little, I have brought, they come in the little packs of them.
Yeah.
And I look for green, but I had a trail race, the one I just did in Oklahoma a couple weeks ago. All they have is black olives. You know what? They were also very tasty. The same little prepackaged one. I don't know who. I didn't even know they sold prepackaged olives in places.
Oh yeah, anyway, those are good. But you know what? I just bought some cans of them, and the sliced olives, and we just poured them into styrofoam cups. And
If you're like, but I mean, if you're carrying them,
that's right.
Like some of them have like, I mean, they come in like prepackaged.
Oh yeah, no.
But yeah, you just rip the top and
No, nice. You see those at convenience stores, whatever. Yeah, it's
easy
very good.
Easy to digest.
Yep.
Yep, good stuff.
But, they're kind of salty, too, which appeals to people.
I'm a savory versus sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I feel like I'm sweet already inside, so, I've already probably hit the limit already, so that's why I'm, person believes their own BS. That becomes a big problem.
Yeah, well, you're shoveling it on pretty good right now, then. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Be good if I can actually finish the 100. So in my head, though, man, I'm going to look into Ensure.
Well, we'll do everything we can to get you to that finish line.
Got to do it myself.
The nice thing about this race is we see you every lap, and so we'll keep kicking your butt out the aid station and go do another lap.
I have a friend that just, failed, but recently tried it at Jackpot. Same concept.
Yeah.
You can, but same idea, bunch of laps. So anyway, so this one is in my backyard. It's like 25 minutes from my house. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Great cause. Been there two other times. And also that's where I tell the random stranger I have cancer, and my whole life was able to solve it because I told another runner who I'd never met before.
Right.
Then I'm able to share it with family, get a doctor plan, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, it just happened to happen at that race.
So. Yeah. And as a race director, it's the coolest thing, as opposed to other races where, runners are going in and out of an aid station. They're just off into the woods somewhere. I mean, I have the opportunity. Sometimes I'll jump out there and I'll just go do some laps with some people out there. I mean, that's how I first got to know Gary, who I mentioned earlier, and he tells me his whole cancer survival story. Wow. Kelly's another guy who he had a liver transplant.
Wow.
And, you know, he was telling me his whole story about how he got, basically the need for the liver transplant was kind of self-inflicted. And Kelly was that close to dying. And he now is just an amazingly changed person who just is doing just great stuff because he's trying to show gratitude for the life he's been given. And but, you know, you don't find this out, you know, unless you're like, say, I can be as a racetracker and go out and just go do some laps and talk to people. And, you know, it seems like everybody in a race like that has a story.
Yeah.
And once you get into it, and you know, even some of the young people, yes, it's really interesting to me, yes, finding out about their stories. I mean, you know, we had a 18-year-old who did the marathon. We had a 15-year-old.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it was incredible.
Yep.
Super cool kid. And also, what I, aside from him pushing it himself to do it, because I guess his family said he just got this idea, like, 2 months prior or something, or that he was going to run a marathon. The support his family gave, that part.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just telling you, the mama bear was out there. His mom, forget the regular bears, was out there.
Right.
She was full on mama bear. She was, what does he need? He needs the sponge on the back of his neck. All the kind of, my gosh, I just thought, wells up and you're just like, wow.
Yeah, and he was a cool story too, because he had been a very overweight kid.
Oh, I didn't know any of his story. I just know it was out there for a lot of his laps. So.
Yeah, and he cut his weight down, and then and he told his mom this crazy idea. He said, "Look, I want to go run a marathon."
Good-looking young guy would have had no idea that he even has that as a past.
Yeah, well, what he's done, he's spent a lot of time in the gym, and he's he cut all this weight and then put weight back on with muscle.
Yeah,
but he came from a very overweight background and decided he needed to do something about it. So very cool story, and you know, kid who'd never run before, basically, and you know, freshman in high school.
Wow.
So yeah, like I say, so many cool stories
at that race. And the change that it's going to make in his life going forward. One, that accomplishment that he did a marathon, but just that whole, the hours of the time, the what works on in your head, getting ready for it, the completion, the finishing part.
Right.
Is just wow. Wow.
Yeah. And
I wish I had gotten to do that young in life, that I'd had the gumption to do that. I was like, wow. You know, what else could you have done? Because I think of how much my life has exploded for the positive things that happen, work life, my career, everything, just the explosion of stuff that has just happened. Part of it is also the age you're at and some good things are happening, but it's just like, wow, just because the mental space that you're at. Also, the crazies that happen in probably every workplace or industry, you're just kind of, you know, like, I don't know. I think it'll be okay. People can bring stuff to you, like, bring it. I'm good. It just rolls off. This is just another mile. It's just.
Well, one thing you learn with experience is what battles are worth fighting.
Yeah,
you know what's not worth getting all upset 100%. About here. You know, it's exactly.
Yeah, go you.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's not just running, but it's just with life. Let's wrap this up with the advice that you'd like to share with people based on some of these experiences you just talked about here.
Well, I think the best advice one I just got from you, the insurer, but I think with my, it's just get to the start and get to the finish. Just the journey in between is what has made this whole thing. The people that I've met on the run, the running has kept me centered through all of it. I think the breaking things, the trail run, especially breaking things down in pieces, has helped in other aspects of your life. You're like, it's a marathon. Why would you run a marathon when you have cancer? Why would you do that to your body? How? I'm like, it's not that. It's something I can control. There's a start and there's a finish. I can control that. I can, whether I walk, whatever. I guess also... unless you're top three, same medal for everybody.
Right.
But you need to finish to do that. And I think the power that you get from the finishes, it's not necessarily the medal. Some of the medals are pretty cool. but it's just the, I did something different on my Saturday than what the places I've seen, the person I didn't know existed that I met that day because they were struggling at mile 18 because they had something that day that you're able to either give back. The faith journey I've been on, partly the cancer and part just the running. I think just the centeredness, part of it, it just all feeds into the same thing. My Christianity is my route, but other people, just the centeredness you get from the running, you're able to, you understand there's something bigger than you out there. Something,
right.
Cause you're outside, cause yeah. you're moving. That was one of the things you said earlier. You just need to get outside. I don't really care about the Strava. You're like, but it's just a matter of getting outside and doing it, you know, just getting out there and being part of it.
Right.
When you're out there and you're in a mountain and you see, I am so small and this mountain is so big, and it just makes you part of this giant universe. And, so the advice is just probably get out there and, do something every day. Don't waste the moment. Just be outside. Enjoy.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's, I didn't beautiful. Have great stuff. Sorry, man.
No.
I didn't really plan it super well, but, and anything is possible. I mean, don't limit yourself.
Right.
Guess if you keep me on long enough, I'll keep coming up with stuff. But, don't limit yourself.
Right.
Just the fact that, like the 100 miler, you know, like, it's not the adrenaline junkie, which, you know, I think we all have that a little bit, but it's just the, it seems like it's impossible. And but yeah. everything, if you take in chunks, like you said, the bite of the elephant, just take it all in chunks until
right.
you get to the end. And what, also, I don't know who I'm going to be at the end of it. Like, I know yeah. that particular day I'm feeling like crap, but how is
well,
it?
Unless you get run over by a bus, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yikes. how is this? Because I think of what the marathon has done with me and my first 50 miler. Like, who am I going to be afterwards? Like, the training that leads up to it, and after finishing, what will that do? How is that going to change me mentally? I mean, physically, my legs are going to, like, yeah, I went a couple more miles. But what is that going to change? And then that's going to hit the regular, it's not going to matter my running. It's like, how is it going to affect my day-to-day life? How is it going to affect my relationships with my family, with my friends? Yeah, wow. I'm super pumped at what the future holds. And
right.
Yeah. Although we talk a lot about, like, numbers in the past, but yeah. I would just say, get out there and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing that. Yeah. All right.
Where Thanks can people, so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Where can people find you out there, Keenan?
I am a hermit. I run a lot of races. I am on Strava, which I'm not saying to look for that. I do have a blog out there, but I quit doing it during the pandemic. But the second tab, if you look over, there's a Marathon Picks one. I do keep up with that. My blog is mycoloradolife.net.
Right.
But really, just I hope to see people out on the trail, just out there. And just,
yeah.
just hope that any of this, if there was any positivity in this, just that we can do a whole lot of things as runner, and not that everyone overcomes cancer, blah, blah, blah. But
right.
the way we get through it, just the same thing with our trails, is just take things in pieces and chunks and stages and
right.
just enjoy being outside and moving forward.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. good stuff right
there.
I'm
going to run 100 marathons this year, so I'm going to see a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'm bound to see out there. So
absolutely.
Just say hi.
All right. Yeah. So say hi. Yeah. He'll be at the American Heroes Run for sure.
100%.
Out at Ouray. Did you say Ouray?
You did say Ouray. It's Longmont.
Longmont. Well, yeah, no, yeah. I was thinking you were going to be there too, but no, that's somebody else. But yeah. but in any case, I mean, even though you're not really keeping up that website, it is very entertaining.
I will again.
Okay.
I thought about bringing that back as well. I just went through the pandemic, but I did many years.
Yeah.
Did all the continents that way. So yeah.
Yeah. Pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, nice. Awesome. Well,
thanks, man.
Check it out. And thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
You
Have
bet.
A great night.
Hopefully listening to Keenan's prolific marathoning didn't totally exhaust you, but I hope you enjoyed hearing how this guy approaches life and its challenges. What a neat talk to be able to share time chatting with Keenan. And I want to thank Keenan, and thanks to all of you. Much appreciated from the bottom of my heart for you guys listening to the We Are Superman podcast. It's been several years now, so I really do appreciate you sticking with me. And make sure you subscribe so you can load all new episodes onto your phone, and we're going to have a lot of great ones coming up here in the very near future. And if you enjoy the podcast, the best thing you can do is share it with your friends or on social media. And please do me a favor and take 60 seconds, give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform on which you listen to us. I would also be humbly honored if you would write a review as well. These 5-star ratings and reviews really do help us make more episodes and rise higher in the podcast services search algorithms, which helps more people find our show. Until next time, always be positive.